Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. It's just going to be 6 minutes past 11 now. In the studio now, we have Harvey Nicol, a nine-year-old from Limavady, and his father, Andrew. Harvey and Andrew, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Now, this is a story. Harvey, you're football mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who is he play for?
Roe Valley.
Roe Valley, that's up in Limavady.
Yes.
And what, Roe Valley any good?
Yeah.
And what league do you play in?
Even
know. Korean morning.
Yeah.
Korean
yeah.
morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. And what position do you play in yourself?
Striker.
You score plenty of goals.
Yeah.
And what, you got injured? When did you get injured?
It was the Thursday night they were training down at the 3G pitch in Limavady, and some young boy had a shot and just whatever way it hit his arm, it just broke his arm, you know. And then his coach brought him up to the house, and just knew to look at it straight away. Things weren't good. So then we took him over that night over to Corian Causeway Hospital, and we sat in, you know, A&E for 5 hours, and then we got through then. So we did and x-rayed and all, and they confirmed it was broke.
So how is the arm now, Harvey? So you've got a wee cast on.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not too sore.
And I'd say you're missing playing the football.
Yeah, a lot.
And now, suppose you can tell us, what team do you support?
Spurs.
And I suppose normally a kid just breaks his arm playing football, they'll be out, they can't play for a while. But Harvey, you got a bit of a surprise. Just tell us about that.
Well, I got a, I don't know what it is, but
letter.
The letter from Pochettino and from Spurs. Yeah.
Yeah, and just for our listeners who don't know, Mauricio Pochettino, he is the Spurs manager.
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
It was his two coaches, Peter Muller and Kevin Mullen. They both called to the house. It was about 3 weeks after it had happened, and just basically brought him in and says, we've a wee present here for him. And then it was a signed photo, framed and everything, from Tottenham. You know, they had went to the bar, they had asked the club to get it, and the club had got it, and Pochettino had signed it and sent it over.
And how'd that feel? Were you surprised?
Yeah, I felt really happy.
Yeah, and I've got the framed letter here in front of me. I'll just read it out for listeners. Dear Harvey, I was extremely sorry to hear that you have recently been involved in an accident. I should like to take this opportunity to send you my best wishes on behalf of all the staff and players at the club. We hope that you're managing to keep your spirits up and hope that you get well soon. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank you for your continued and much appreciated support of the club. Kind regards, and signed by Mauricio Pochettino. It's nice, isn't it?
It's nice something he's always going to have, you know. And it's also very nice that, you know, somebody of Pochettino's status took his time out, you know, to sign a letter like that. So very much appreciated.
Yeah, and have you sent back a thank you letter? Or
no, we haven't done as yet. But I'm going over tomorrow on the way to the...
Oh, you're going over?
We're going over, well, I'm going over a long way, some friends. We're going over to the Man United match. So maybe run on them if I do. I'll say
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, and have you been over many times, Harvey?
Once. Yeah.
And I suppose I have to tell you, I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
I've got two Spurs fans in here in the studio.
That's not good now. Not a good combination.
But I suppose you're playing United tomorrow. I don't know who I want. I don't know who I want to lose there. If you could both lose, I'd be happy. But hopefully, Harvey, your arm gets better soon. I suppose what have doctors told you? How quick would you be looking to get back?
Soon, yeah. Well, I think it's 2 months I have to keep it on for, but I've already had it on for 5 weeks.
Right. So you'll be looking at another 3 weeks then?
Yeah.
And are you still kicking a ball about now, just being careful? Or?
Yeah.
That's how striker
be. Yeah, he's kicking a ball. He's a wee softball in the kitchen and he's chipping it on the washing machine. So he's trying to keep his skills up.
Well, football mad. Harvey and Andrew, thanks for coming in. It's a great story. We'll get a picture of the framed letter and we'll put it up on our Facebook page. But thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a song now. This is a new one from Mark Ronson and Kevin Parker. We'll be right back. Mark Ronson's new tune there with Kevin Carter, Daffodils. Just read out some messages regarding the papers. Will this new party wish to take the vote from public servants? They have so much obvious contempt for the public sector. Why not take our vote away as well? That's regarding Lucinda Creighton's new party, Renew. The media is a very powerful tool and amazingly has great ability to brainwash the general public. I'm amazed at how it's bashing Lucinda Creighton's new party before they even get a chance to prove themselves. They can be no worse than the present parties in government. So I, for one, will be keeping an open mind. I'm not saying I'll be voting for them, but I'm certainly looking for a new party with fresh ideas. Well, not everybody is against them then. Some people are saying they're open to new ideas. Anyway, on to the next thing we have. In studio now, we have a band called Elephant Bone Blues. Okay, guys, thanks for coming in. If you could just all introduce yourselves, first of all.
Jared.
Hi, I'm Jared.
Graham.
Kieran.
Elora.
And Aoife.
And yous are all from Inishowen?
Yeah, all about the place.
All about the place.
Now, I suppose I have to ask you straight away, where did the name Elephant Bone Blues come from? Is it?
We're not sure. We had like a load of names at the time.
Did you just like open a dictionary and just have it like one or three?
It's just like throwing random words, like just really bad English. Yeah. So that's
it's a catchy name though, isn't it?
Oh, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it catches on. So how did yous form, or when did yous form?
It was weird enough, like me and Kieran would do like kind of cover gigs, and we'd do like a New Year's one for like a back in local town, and so he says, I know these two singers from Malin Head. So they just brought them in, and then after that it was just like, I don't know, saw something in it, just went for it, I suppose. We started doing covers and all that there, then they kept reworking covers, so we're like, yeah, let's do original music.
Yeah. Definitely. And we played the song Antlers last week. It's different. How would you describe it?
Describing your music, well, I don't know. A lot of people think it's like a cowboy song.
Some people say it's cinematic.
Sorry, Kieran, could you go a bit closer, just the microphone?
Oh,
some people say
cinematic kind of thing.
Cinematic, or alternative kind of rock.
Yeah.
And that you have an EP out now.
Yeah, it was back there on February 3rd. Yeah, released out there.
So, and good reaction to it.
Yeah, very good, very good. Thankfully.
Yeah, and where's it been played? Any airplay?
Galway,
various radio stations here and there.
Daring, I think. We didn't even know ourselves.
Radio Foyle, Flirt FM, a few others.
So
slowly getting there.
It's creeping in. We've been playing Antlers, and I think Lee Gooch played it a few times as well. So, suppose where can, if people want to get a taster of the EP, where can they get it?
Oh, you can find us on Facebook. But like, if you want it, it's free download. You just go on.
Bandcamp.
So Elephant Bone Blues, Bandcamp.
SoundCloud as well, yeah. So just say it again, Facebook, SoundCloud.
Yeah, so it's the first Google search, you can't go wrong. So.
Yeah, okay. And are you gigging at the minute?
At the moment we're like building up our set with new material and all. We played Sandino's gig in Derry there last month.
Yes, it's
our first one. So we are organising shows at the moment for summer, a few festivals, and slowly getting there. So,
yeah, and what festivals?
What's on at the moment? Stendhal, C Sessions, it's all in talks at the moment, so I don't want to confirm it yet.
I'm trying to think what our festival. Swell, he's looking at that. Armore,
they've been looked into anyway. Yeah. we haven't confirmed anything yet.
Any gigs going up this weekend or
nothing for this month?
It's a few weeks yet.
Benegans and Derry.
Anybody listening wants to see us. Okay, Graham, Aoife, Laura, Jared, and Kieran of Elephant Blowing Blues, thanks for coming in. You're going to the studio now, so we'll take a break and then we'll get a song. What song are you going to be performing?
Antlers.
Antlers. Okay, sure, we'll take a break and then we'll let you get in the studio. Thanks, guys. Okay, welcome back to the Weekend Edition. It's now 21 minutes past 11. In studio, we have Graham, Aoife, Laura, Jared and Kieran of Elephant Bone Blues. And they're about to perform the Antlers song off their EP. Whenever he's ready, guys.
Cool.
Inside me, and trouble is my way. An honest day's a working, and all debts left unpaid. time you kiss the coward. Before you miss your hour.
Graham, Aoife, Laura, Jared and Kieran, Elephant Bone Blues. It was great. It sounded really good, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Hannes.
Okay, Elephant Bone Blues there. We're going to take a break, or take a song after this, and then we'll have a break. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Well, Elephant Bone Hannes. Blues. Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. Now, when you think of summer jobs, what do you think of? When I was at uni, I came home and I worked at a petrol station. One summer, I worked at the bookies. But on the line now, we have Anthony Galvin, who's looking for a unique summer job. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, very unique, Anthony. Tell us about this summer job you're applying for.
I've applied to be a postman, and the job itself isn't spectacular, but the setting is, it's on Goody Island, which is on the northern tip of Antarctica. I will be the only postman on Antarctica if I get the job, and it's during the southern summer, so the temperature will be a nice balmy minus 10 degrees on average.
Anthony, I suppose I have to ask, why Antarctica? Why are you applying for this job?
I think since I was a child, I've always been drawn to areas like that. If I have to go on a holiday, and we all do occasionally, I always choose a cold place to go. I would go to Iceland, any place cold. I spend my Christmases as it is in Lapland, in northern Finland, working at a Santa village there. So I've had 18 years of white Christmases with temperatures dropping to minus 45. And I think I'm just drawn to the polar regions. The scenery is spectacular. You're in a complete wilderness environment. And it's very, very appealing.
So you're well used to the cold then, because you go to Lapland, as you say.
The cold won't be a problem because it'll actually be warmer on Antarctica than the winters in Lapland.
Right. And Anthony, how did you become aware of this job and how did you apply for it?
They advertise this job for a few days every year. It's seasonal work. The base there is not manned throughout the polar winter. So it's very much seasonal work. And they advertise for a limited window every February. It's because they don't want thousands and thousands of applicants. Now, last year they got 170 applicants. This year they got 2,000 applicants, so they misjudged it slightly. But when the ad appeared on the internet, I just filled out all the details they wanted, prepared a very good kind of cover letter to make my pitch, and sent it off, and fingers crossed, it works.
So 2,000 people have applied, and there's only one job?
No, 2,000 have applied for four jobs.
Four jobs?
Yep.
But it's an awful lot. What's the attraction? I don't see the attraction. I certainly wouldn't want to work as a postman in Antarctica.
Well, you've got penguins for company. Everyone loves penguins. And the base is on a penguin colony. So there'll be thousands and thousands of penguins. And you've got spectacular mountains behind you. You've got the snow. You've got the ice out in the sea. It's perfect if you're into it.
And I remember reading it in the paper last week, Anthony, and I thought, working in Antarctica, that's just a bit crazy. It's a bit out there. But like, what other jobs have you had in the past? I know you were saying that you go to Lapland, but have you had any other jobs that are quite out there?
Not really. I mean, I began as a journalist, and I spent a decade as a journalist, but then I decided to become self-employed. And since then, I've mainly been a magician. I've travelled around Europe doing magic shows. I once managed a hotel in Antarctica, in Lapland. Sorry,
Lapland,
I managed a hotel in Lapland for a season because of all sorts of problems they had the previous season. So nobody would manage the hotel that season. And I, being a little bit thick, said, I'll do that because I didn't see the problems until I got there.
The question that it brought to me when I read the story in the paper last week, Anthony, is a postman in Antarctica, who are you actually going to be delivering letters to?
Well, that's the funny thing. I'm actually processing the mail rather than delivering it. A number of cruise ships stop off on Goody Island because it's safe. most of Antarctica is very inaccessible. If you were to try to come on to where Scott and Shackleton set off from, you're in danger of being crushed by the pack ice. Whereas Goodyear Island, it's on an archipelago of island that juts up towards South America. It's between the Weddell and the Ross Sea, and it's actually north of the Antarctic Circle. So you're out of the pack ice. So for the 4 months of the southern summer, cruise ships stop by there and people come on shore for a couple of hours, and they want to send letters back home that have the Antarctica stamp. It's the only post office in Antarctica. So it's the only place you can go to in the world where you can get a stamp from that continent.
And I suppose when I think of Antarctica, maybe this is an ignorant question, but will they have broadband and mobile network there?
They won't have broadband, they won't have mobile network. The only electricity we'll have will come from the generator. So if we forget to stock it up with fuel, we'll suddenly be plunged into darkness and there is no running water.
So you're going to be seriously isolated if you get this job?
It's a very isolated environment. Antarctica is the last real wilderness left in the world. I mean, even if you go to Mount Everest, the Chinese have put a mast on Mount Everest, so you have complete mobile coverage all the way up Everest these days. This is the last wilderness. It really is an extreme environment, and if you're in trouble there, you have to rely on yourself. I think that's part of the attraction, that you really are in wilderness.
Yeah, and how do you get to Antarctica? I remember reading one time, is it you fly to Argentina, then you get a boat, or how would you get
there?
That
would be the way we would get there, yeah. Yes. A boat from Ushuaia or from Punta Arenas, and I think about a 24-hour crossing.
Yeah,
it takes three days altogether to get there.
I don't know why I was reading about the boat journey one time, but I think it's meant to be quite a hairy boat journey from Argentina to Antarctica.
Yes, the Southern Ocean, there is a bend down around that part of in those latitudes where there is no land in the entire, you know, there's uninterrupted sea completely around the Antarctic continent with no landmass. So if there's a storm, there's nothing to prevent a wave going round and round and round, building up power, building up size. So the Southern Ocean can be extremely choppy and extremely rough.
And how long would you be out in Antarctica? I know you said it would be seasonal, but if you got the job, how long would you be out there?
Between 4 and 5 months.
It's a long time to be isolated out there for so long, but you seem to be prepared anyway.
It's a long time. Now, if this was 1912 and I had decided to go with Scott, I would have been gone for 2 or 3 years with no prospects of a safe return. 4 months, it'd be a long time to miss the kids and things like that, but it's a manageable chunk out of somebody's life for a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
And I suppose you're saying you're a former journalist. Would you be looking then at the prospect of maybe writing a book about this? Or
I would certainly, if I don't write a book about it, I would set it as the setting for a book. Yes, with 4 months, I should be able to come back with a complete manuscript.
So, Anthony, when will you find out if you got this job?
I should find out next month whether I make the final selection process. And in May, a group of us will be brought to England just to check that we're physically robust enough for the job and that mentally we can cope with 4 months of isolation. So the final selection will be made in May, but a limited selection will be made next month. And if I make the cut, fingers crossed, I'll go the whole way.
What's your chances? Are you confident?
My chances... there's got to be an awful lot of nutcases among the 2,000. So I really hope I rise above the nutcases. Yeah. And, I have the experience in the cold. I have the experience with working with small teams in extreme environments. So my background does make me suitable. And beyond that, it's down to chance.
Well, good luck, I guess. Anthony Galvin, thanks for joining us on the show.
It's a pleasure.
You may call it in this evening, but you've only lost the night. Preset all your pretty feelings, may they comfort you tonight. And I'm climbing over something, and I'm running through these walls. I don't even know if I believe.
I don't even know if I believe. I don't even know if I believe everything you're trying to say to me.
That's Mumford & Sons' new tune there. On the line now, we have landscape photographer Peter Cox. Now, Peter, I've seen lots of drone footage of pretty Irish tourist spots, but this one you've shot is really amazing. Peter, thanks for joining us on the show. Tell us about this, that you, these photographs, this footage that you've shot.
Thanks for having me, Barry. So basically I've been shooting these scenes now for the last several months as part of a project of still photographs for a book that I've been working on. Basically, it's a project to document the Wild Atlantic Way, probably in a way that hasn't been done before, by using a drone to make essentially to take aerial photographs to reveal these quite well-known scenes in many cases that haven't been seen from this perspective before.
And I suppose I was looking at the footage yesterday. It's really spectacular. And how do you go about shooting something with a drone?
So the thing basically has a it's an octocopter that I use. It's got 8 rotors, and it carries a camera, a professional grade camera, on a stabilized gimbal, which basically means that when the drone's up in the air and it's it's moving around, the camera is kept perfectly level. So you can have these very stable tracking shots of the scene you're shooting.
And just tell us about some of the areas you filmed. I spotted a few County Donegal landmarks in there.
There'd be a few in there, all right, to be sure. actually, Donegal is kind of where I started the project. I lived down in Cork. And so what I said was, well, I'll start the project to the furthest away place and work my way south. And, I mean, Donegal, I've been up many times. And, it's a dramatic, dramatic coastline. So there's where this Fannet Head is there, Boyd or Strand, also known as the Murder Hole. There's a place called the Breaches at Crawhey Head. Where else is there now? There's a few other spots there, all right, fairly well-known ones.
Where else did I see? Mount Errigal, isn't it? Is it?
Errigal, yeah, actually. Errigal is one of those places that it's not strictly on the Wild Atlantic Way, but it's so close and it's such a dramatic mountain.
Yeah, I suppose there's plenty of places on the there's plenty of places on the Wild Atlantic Way where you could see Errigal still.
Exactly, yeah, so I figured I'd be stretching the rules a little bit by including it, but I couldn't help myself.
And there's a lot of isolated areas along the coast that you filmed. Was it dangerous shooting this footage?
Not particularly. You know, you always try to be careful. The nice thing about being at these isolated places is that you're not going to be bothering anybody with the drone. You kind of have to take care when you're going out to these places. Thankfully, actually, when I'm shooting from the ground on a tripod, I'm often out in very, very bad weather. And I suppose the nice thing about shooting with the drone is you can't go out in the bad weather, so your temptation to go out in an exposed place where you might be at a bit of risk is taken away.
And how do you control the drone?
It's controlled from basically a transmitter that you have in your hand. So I can control obviously where it's going, and then I can also direct the camera as I want it. So it's quite, they're quite sophisticated and quite straightforward to fly, but at the same time, you do need to be, properly trained in order to fly them safely. In case something goes wrong, as I've had a couple of little, I had one adventure off the coast of Clare where I had a motor failure. Essentially, one of the rotors flew off because a screw worked its way loose and ended up ripping a motor right off of its mount. But the nice thing about these devices is that they have redundancies built in, so it was able to survive that. And I was able to bring it back safely.
And was all the footage shot on the one drone? It seems to me that the drones, it would be very easy for them to get damaged.
It can be. I mean, I liken the drones we have these days. They're a bit like the Model T Ford. You know, it's kind of the first generation. It's functional, but it wouldn't take much to break it. So, for example, the one that I have and any of the drones that are out there today don't tolerate rain. You know, the electronics that are on them are all totally exposed and they're not weather sealed. So you have to be a little bit careful. And actually, as a landscape photographer, that means things can be a bit difficult because the times when the light is at its best and when the landscape is at its most appealing is when it's often, windy and rainy. You've got the waves going and you've got dramatic light. So the temptation to fly this thing, in conditions that it can't tolerate is fairly high. And so far I've been able to skirt the line just right. And I've been using the same one, and it hasn't lost it. Although when it's out 500 meters or that over the Atlantic, it's kind of choppy weather. It does. It's fairly expensive yoke, and you don't like. You're always kind of worried that it's going to go plummeting into the ocean.
And I suppose when I was watching the footage, what struck me is just how amazing it is. But have any of the tourism boards or anything approached you to maybe use the footage for an advert? No.
No, I haven't. I've been approached by a few people, all right, who've been interested in licensing the footage, but I haven't been approached by the tourism board. But sure, if they were to come talking to me, I'd be happy to talk to them.
Yeah, and suppose for anybody listening now, when will the aerial book of images be available?
The aerial book of images is currently being funded, and so you can go to atlanticlight.ie and you can check that out. We met the funding goal within just 2 days out of a 30-day period. And then it will go to press in June. So by late June, I would hope to have it available for sale.
And Peter, I suppose, as I said, I'll put a link up online because I only watched the footage last night. It is spectacular. I'll put a link up online for anybody to see it. It is really spectacular footage. And I suppose along with the Hans Zimmer music, it really is a magical advert for the Wide Atlantic Way.
Well, thanks very much. Yeah, we have such a dramatic coastline here in Ireland, and one of the comments that I get quite a lot from people is, people from within Ireland, it's like it kind of reminds us how dramatic of a place we actually live in. You know, we kind of take it for granted because we live here, and especially up in Donegal, I mean, it's such an incredible coastline and landscape that, it's the place. Why would you go anywhere else when you can stay in Ireland and travel around and see this?
Yeah, that's it. Peter, thanks for joining us on the show. And as I say, I'll put a link up online for anybody who wants to see it.
Thanks very much, Mary.
Cheers. Peter Cox, landscape photographer from County Cork. As I say, we'll put a link up to show the footage that he shot from a drone. It's along the wide Atlantic Way coast. There's a few places in Donegal you can see. It really is amazing footage. We're going to take a break now, but coming up next on the show, we'll have the principal of Gort na Gairm Primary School. The school, which is near Gortshan in the outskirts of Omagh, is under the threat of closure, and it is also celebrating its 50th anniversary. And to mark that and fight the closure, students and teachers have made a YouTube video. Thousands have watched the video online. Principal of the school, Nuala Grugan, will be joining us after this break. On the show now, we have Nuala Grugan from Gort na Gairm Primary School. It's a small rural primary school just on the outskirts of Gortshan near Omagh. Nuala, you're the principal. Thanks for joining us on the show.
No problem.
Nuala, like many small rural schools, Gort na Gairm is under threat of closure. Just tell us the situation, first of all.
Well, we currently, our development proposal for closure in August 2015 was published on the 14th of January this year. It closes today, the 14th of March. So that was the opportunity for the public to get involved and let the minister know their feelings. So that's the stage we're at. The minister ultimately will have the final say in the proposal that's going forward to close our school.
And how many pupils are involved in the school? How many pupils go to the school?
We currently have experienced a declining enrolment. There are currently 19 pupils in the school. Although within the community of two small rural schools, we do have around 50 school-going children in the area.
So what will happen to the pupils and the teachers if the school closes?
Well, the teachers will be facing redundancy or redeployment, hopefully. Ultimately, the children will be encouraged to attend the next local primary school, or ultimately it's the parental choice of where they will go, but wherever they will be very different to the experiences that they've had and the school that they love in Gort na Gairm.
And how long has this school been in Gort na Gairm?
The school has been here 50 years. It's bittersweet that this year we are celebrating our 50th anniversary. The school opened in September 1964, and indeed it's because of this anniversary, this significant anniversary, that this idea for a video and a song came about.
Yeah, and you've mentioned the video and the song there. I'll just play a clip of it here first.
Now it's pretty clear.
Nuala, it's a quirky song, it's a cute idea, but I know it's caught the imagination because there's thousands of people who have watched it on YouTube, but ultimately, can something like this save the school?
Well, this video and song is not in any way meant to be perceived as an attempt to, I suppose, change things. It started out as an idea to celebrate everything that is good about Gort na Gairm, to capture the spirit of our school, to exhibit the wide and varied extracurricular activities that exist for the children. We want to, as a 50th celebration, we want to celebrate what makes us unique. However, as this has developed, as our year of celebration has developed, our situation has changed, and it has morphed really into, I suppose, the lyrics are definitely a message to the minister to give us our wee school a chance to maybe reconsider maybe perhaps another option rather than absolute closure.
Whose idea was the video?
Well, initially my idea was for the video and the song as a 50th anniversary, but when the public consultation opened, we had a meeting with parents about our right to respond to the consultation and what we might do because of that. And it was, in fact, at that meeting that one of our parents suggested that maybe we should consider a media response from the children. So it has come from our parents, and it was one of our parents who, within an hour of the meeting being over, had tweaked or rewritten the lyrics to all of Meghan Trainor's hits, All About the Bass, to Gordon Garn's All About the Space.
Any idea if the Education Minister in the North, John O'Dowd, has seen it?
I don't know if he's seen it, but I have emailed it to him. And I do know that a few members in the local councillors, I met a few of them at the public sector strike yesterday, and I do know that some of them have seen it. So I'm hoping that maybe it will make its way to be seen to Minister O'Dowd as well.
Well, the video, it's a novel idea. For anybody who wants to see it, they can just type in Gorton Lagarn Primary School into YouTube and they can see it. Hopefully it helps with your fight to save the school. And
well, we are in a very unique situation. We have everything to lose and everything to gain. So if the proposal for closure goes ahead, everyone in the Gorton Lagarn community can rest assured that they've done everything in their power. This is not our only response. We have been working for about 4 or 5 years to try and save our school or provide a local solution to retention of primary provision in the area. So we're not banking. All our hard work hasn't just been one. This is just one thing of many. And if it doesn't work in our favour, you know, we can hold our heads high. We've tried very hard and we have such a beautiful memory now of Gorton Lagarn Primary School captured on video and song. And we'll have that forever.
Well, good luck with it. Principal of Gorton Lagarn Primary School, Nuala Grugan, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much, Barry. Pleasure to speak to you.
Nuala Grugan from Gorton Lagarn Primary School there. It is a school just up outside Gorton. They're hoping to save it. If you want to see the video, you should just type in the school to YouTube. It's just gone a minute past 12. It's time to end the show for today. But before I go, I promised I would read this out. The Friends of Letterkenny General Hospital will host a coffee morning in aid of the Friends of Letterkenny General Hospital at Uptown Cafe. That's on Saturday the 14th. It's on from 10:30 to 2 o'clock. Everyone's welcome. All donations will be entered into a free draw. So that is next Saturday, 10:30 to 2 o'clock. It's just gone a minute past 12. That's all we have time for on the show today. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back the same time next week.